Hello and welcome to this episode of Stage of the Game. We have myself, Owen, this week. Jesse and Tony could not be here, but I've brought a special guest in this week if you'd like to introduce yourself.
Hi, my name's Joey Estava-Garci. I'm an actor in the Detroit area.
Yep. Joey and I were, well, we, were we, did our in practice classes overlap technically?
Yeah, like the
Yeah.
end of your class was
Yeah.
when my first
So we
class
were technically
came in.
apprentices together. And then we ended up working together on other shows after that at the Purple Rose in Michigan once my apprenticeship ended. But this week we're going to be talking about failure and the risks involved with making art and entertainment in general. Mainly because I want to bring up this quote that from Shuhei Yoshida, president of Sony Interactive Entertainment, he came out with a statement recently about like the state of the gaming industry, that kind of struck with me. Because, and this is just like a, this isn't the full quote, but this is the snippet from it. Because of the size of this of the investment, each title feels too big to fail. It creates an enormous pressure to manage these AAA projects. These games are the drivers of the industry to become more and more mainstream entertainment. We need to keep pushing the art of making AAA games. And of course, he's talking about the state of like big budget video games and how they pretty much can't afford to fail. Nowadays, because of all the money that goes into them. And this holds true because with theater as well, it's like so much money goes into the theater, and if it the show fails, you lose your investment, and people aren't going to be willing to invest in theater as much, which is a risk that you'll have sometimes need to. Why people don't invest in new theater anymore is really a problem. Big examples of the in the gaming industry this season have been Mass Effect Andromeda. Pretty much killed not only the studio it was working worked on it, which was BioWare. I believe it was Toronto. I could be wrong about that, but that particular branch of BioWare had to shut down because of it. But then. Another it also effectively killed the Mass Effect franchise, which people are very upset. It might come back, but and then another game, Lawbreaker, is made by a very famous video game developer. He created his own company to make this game, and then that game flopped, and the company had to shut down. And he had to go back to doing other stuff entirely.
Man.
So we've seen these examples in these are the examples from video games, but like obviously in the theater industry. You and I actually have a really big example of this because we worked on the same show that was technically considered a failure and was probably one of the biggest failures, financially at least, for the Purple Rose, which is 2AZ. And they're technically still digging out of the hole for that.
Jesus, I didn't know that.
That season in general lost them a lot of money. Basically, it was the show's. I've talked about the show before. 2 years after Zombies by Michael Brian Ogden, it was a big cast about t takes place in zombie apocalypse. I got to play a zombie. About 2/3 of the way through the run, I believe, they had to sh cancel the production because they couldn't afford to produce anymore. It wasn't making enough money to pay all the actors in the show, and it was just heartbreaking. So I know I was devastated after it happened. Everyone was.
Yeah, it was awful. It was because it was such a great show. It was just unfortunate that, like, I mean, you and I both know, like, the Purple Rose's main demographic of audience is like elderly people because of where it is and the type of people that usually go to the Rose, and that was a huge risk for them to take, to not only put up that show at all, but to put it up in the longest slot of the season. When they could have just as easily, they did Steel Magnolias that season. They could have just as easily flipped them, made lots of money off of Steel Magnolias because that's a fucking classic that
That
everyone's
actually
going to
broke
come
box
see.
office like records for that, but it still was able that season still ended up tanking because of that show and Annapurna.
Right. Yeah.
But
Yeah,
it's
that was heartbreaking.
yeah, it's a shame because and the reason we talk about the things like failure and stuff like this is because I remember Guy Sandvold, artistic director, asked Jeff Daniels to come in and speak with the cast and crew after one of the performances. After we found out the show was being canceled, he came in and talked to us, and he specifically saying, "Hey, you guys did an amazing job. This is good theater, and I'm going to talk to the board of directors and say, like, just because this happened, like, doesn't mean we shouldn't still be producing theater like this. And of course, that's the problem with the arts. That's a big problem with the arts.
Mm-hmm.
You see a lot of days nowadays, like you were saying, the demographic for the Rose is pretty much the demographic for most regional theater.
Right.
Older audience with disposable income.
Because people our age just, like, don't have the money to see theater.
No.
And I think that's a big problem with theater. Like, I fully support any endeavor to put on free theater for anyone, because I love theater and I feel like it's so much more visceral than movies, but movies are so much more affordable for the average person.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, yeah, my friends can't come see any of my shows unless I give them comps, you know, like, the only people who can afford to regularly see theater or to get season tickets anywhere are people like our parents or our grandparents.
Mm-hmm. It's just, it's really a shame. It's like, if you ask young people about the theater nowadays, especially people in the industry, is like, we're, what a lot of us are saying is, like, we want to be working and producing new original theater that pushes the boundaries, like political theater and stuff like that, that tells new stories. And unfortunately, people, while you see some of the successes with stuff like Hamilton and stuff like that, those stories are rare. You're not going to see a lot of stuff like that produced, unfortunately. And there's going to be a lot more stuff like Frozen, Anastasia, and stuff like that, which isn't necessarily bad theater, debatable.
But, it's just safe. It's safe.
Because you know they it's going to make money.
Yeah, exactly. And that's such a hard line for both, like, the video game industry and the and theater. Such a hard line to kind of figure out, like, how many risks can you take and, like, which things can you take a risk on? Like, because, like, honestly, you might release a game that's fucking incredible, but it might just be the wrong time, or, like, maybe something too similar to it recently came out, or, like, on the theater aspect, like, maybe, like, it, with 2AZ and Steel Magnolias, I feel like if they had flipped those two slots in that season, given Steel Magnolias the longer slot and 2AZ the shorter slot, it might not have had to go down the way it did.
Yeah. Fortunately, a big part of that was the fact that there was a child in the show, and the availability of that during this any time but the summer would have made the show pretty hard to do. And that's just, you struggle with these things. Like, there's always going to be limitations in planning and stuff like that. And I know in the video games industry, what I've been hearing from analysts in discussions about this is that a lot of times nowadays you won't see any, like, you'll see, like, very small indie companies and very large major corporations. There's no real middle ground because there can't afford to be a middle ground. Because the small people can be like, okay, we're going to do this, like, solo, like, Kickstarter kind of campaign kind of thing. Whereas the big people, they can, like, they have all this publisher money, they can afford to do all these big games and stuff like that, where it's like medium-sized companies can't do that because they are too big to, like, really go on, like, Kickstarter. People are going to be like, not going to be willing to do that kind of thing, and they're also expected to produce higher quality than an indie game, but at the same time they can't really compete with the bigger games, and they especially can't afford to fail, because that's where people will just, like, their livelihood's gone.
Yeah,
that's what happened with Lawbreakers. That wasn't as big a studio, it was a small studio created by a big name in the industry that he wanted to do his own projects, and the game, while well received, it came out at a bad time. There were other things going on, and basically it wasn't anything new. It was just, like, your basic first person shooter. And it just got lost in the mix. And because of lack of sales, the company went under and he had to go back to doing things that he doesn't want to do anymore.
That's actually a good point to bring up, that, like, if it was just, like, a basic first person shooter, you'd think that that was, like, the safe choice, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's not a risky, new, exciting thing. But, like, you can still fail when you take the same choice, the safe choice. Like, how do you figure out what to do? How do you decide?
Like you were saying earlier, like, a lot of times people, like, sometimes things just come out at the wrong time. People are, a lot of games are panicking right now to switch the times their schedules to come out because of Red Dead Redemption 2, which is coming out, I believe, in February. And everyone knows whenever Rockstar puts out a game, anything else on the, like, that's coming out around that same time is just going to get wiped off the market because it's Rockstar and they only produce like a game ever so often. It's always a huge deal. And of course, I'm going to buy it. It's going to be a great game. But people like literally moved the release date of their games to earlier or after this game because they knew it would affect sales.
Man. Does that ever happen in the theater world? Like, does anyone ever... I constantly find myself in productions where I suddenly realize, oh, there's like three other companies also doing King Lear right now.
I'm sure.
What do we do about that?
But at the same time, like with regional, with theater, it's different because like it's location based. And obviously there's, and with theater and stuff, like there's rules based on stuff. I know theaters within a certain distance of New York can't put on certain shows because of the rights the show has, the New York shows have. I remember my high school was limited by that because we were technically within an hour of the city and there were shows, if there was anything going up in the city, we couldn't do that show.
Wow. I didn't know that was a thing.
Mm-hmm. So like any musical that was being revived in the city, our high school couldn't do it. I don't know. Just because like the rights were theirs.
Do those rules apply to regional theaters then? No.
I believe they, I'm not sure exactly what they do apply. I know that.
Because how does a theater find out if another theater is already planning on doing something that they're thinking about doing? Like if I'm going to do,
I think
I
it's
know,
just communication with, like I know in the when you're working at regional theaters, you need to communicate with the theaters in your area as well. And a lot of times like they're just going to be your colleagues because it's not, it's, regional theater, at least while it can be a competition, it really shouldn't be.
It's not supposed to be.
It's not supposed to be. And usually most times people will like be working together with their counterparts and stuff like that. But I know my theater just recently, we're working on The Ring of Fire, the Johnny Cash musical. And it was actually when my artistic director was debating what to put for their summer musicals, it was between that and Jersey Boys, but they realized that Jersey Boys, the tour of Jersey Boys had come through Schenectady, which is just one city over. It came through like 2 years ago, and they figured it's too soon after people had seen this production. It's still just a little too soon. And people might not be willing to come see this our production because they just saw the national tour 2 years ago. And people, and unfortunately people, like not, and like you were saying, like it's different with movies. People can go see a movie once a week, but with theater, people aren't going to be as willing to go see something they just saw.
Yeah. I mean, kind of along that topic, like I was just able to see In the Heights because there was a company here in Detroit that did like a free production.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's been like, I don't know, 4 or 5 years since I've seen In the Heights, but if it had like come into town on tour, I would have been like, oh, like that would be nice to see, but like I can't afford to see that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the only reason I mean, 5 years is like a long time, but still it's like, oh, it was recent enough that I don't feel like I have to go see it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it had to be free.
Yeah. But I know last summer our company did Mamma Mia, and that was just after Mamma Mia had closed on Broadway. And so literally since then, regional theaters across the country have been doing Mamma Mia because the rights just became available. And so it's mm-hmm. been a big thing popping up across the country. And this trend happens a lot, like a lot of regional theaters, you'll see the same show getting done. A couple years ago, it was, what's the name of the play by Ayad Akhtar? I can't remember the name of it. It's a good play, but it was way overdone. Now it's apparently this past year it was Shakespeare in Love, which is going to be the closing show for Capital Rep season. It's just like these trends, like big shows, like, hey, this is what's trending. These are what people want to see. And you'll see them popping up at regional theaters across the country because it's trendy. And that's what people want to see, unfortunately. That's what's happening in gaming, too, unfortunately, with Right now, it's the battle royale mode with games like Fortnite, PUBG, and everyone's making a spin-off of that, and they're sticking that mode into big names. I know Battlefield and Call of Duty have their own battle royale mode in these things, and so like they need to hop on trends and stuff like that because it's what's profitable, and you do need to make money.
Yeah.
So you usually see with a lot of regional theaters, they'll do like maybe one risky show. One that like kind of like pushes a little bit of the envelope.
And then the rest of the season is like the money makers.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so frustrating to be in this business because of stuff like that. Because like you were saying, we want to do stuff that pushes the envelope, that that's new and original. I mean, well, what is original? But you know, that is risky. That takes like a stand for things. And just because of how much it costs to do theater and how much it costs to see theater, like once you leave college, that's not, you know, when you're in college, you can like do all like the crazy, like standing on boxes shit. But once you leave, it's like, okay, here we are in the real world. No one's going to pay to see that.
Yeah. Which is suck because that's not what you're taught in college. You're taught to like write. Wait, if you're writing or acting, you like, need to be bold and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But then when you're out of theater, you're like, okay, bold and creative doesn't make money, unfortunately.
What kind of, I know my answer to this question, so I want to know your answer to this question is, what kind of like risky theater do you want to see?
I've mentioned this before on this podcast, but seeing shows like Hamilton and like American Idiot from Green Day, I would love to see a musical done but with heavy metal, and not some jukebox version of that, like not like some like Metallica, like
those Rock are the of best Ages.
No, I don't want to see that. I want to see a musical done but like with like heavy metal, just because I feel there's so much emotion behind it, and it could be done really well, but obviously it's going to be such a risk to do because the theater community and the metal community don't necessarily mix. I'm one of the few exceptions to that rule.
And nobody's grandma's going to be down to see that.
Producers aren't going to want to do that because it's not going to make money on Broadway. Hip-hop is has become very mainstream nowadays.
It was a risk at one point, but now it's now, like...
Yeah. And now you're seeing it getting done a lot more, but like the metal community and in general, metal in general is still very, don't want to touch that. There's a lot of controversy behind it and stuff like that, as there once was with hip-hop, but... I'm hoping maybe one day, but
it'll happen someday. I'm sure it'll happen someday. My immediate thought was because I find a lot of times. Okay, backing up. So I remember one of the most frustrating comments I ever hear from people who aren't like theater people is that they don't like seeing musicals that they don't already know the music from because they can't follow the story. And that frustrates the hell out of me because I just want to like grab them by the shoulders and say, just fucking listen, just like listen to the words. It's not that hard. And so my immediate thought with like a metal musical is that because I feel like especially people who aren't like metalheads would have, I mean, I would have no fucking idea what they're saying.
And I get that. I mean, and of course, like, there's different genres of heavy metal. You get, like, the really guttural screaming, which, no, like, yes, people are going to have trouble understanding. And I wouldn't go off of that right off the bat. I'm sure I'd love to see that. But, like, there's band, like, when I'm talking about heavy metal, of course, I want to see stuff with, like, Black Sabbath and stuff like that. And it's like Led Zeppelin, which I debate is actually not heavy metal, but most people would say it is. but like old school heavy metal that's like heavy, but like has clean vocals in it. I just want like the emotion and have in like the power, like the really hard, like the bass, like guitar, and like that kind of feeling. And the dark, as I like knowing that I love dark theater, like happy theater is good and all that, but like the for me, like what I love about theater is like the raw emotion behind it, being in that room and feeling the tension in the room. I love that. It's so beautiful being there, seeing it, watching it come to life. So I want, and that's why I love metal as well, because it's so emotional. Like there's so much anger and frustration that you just release from it. I want those two worlds to collide. I want people to be able to experience that. There's an outlet for it somewhere, and I want to see it done. I want to see
I
it
want
done
you to
well.
write that show. I want
I
you to write
can't
like
write that. I'm not a music person.
I want you to write like act one of that show.
I'm not a music person. I would need to find someone to do the music for
We need to find like a metal band who'd be down to do this with you, because I think
it.
now that you've explained it, I'm like, you know what? That sounds cool as fuck. Like, I think that could go places if it's done right.
I know there
But
was a
it's a
progressive,
risk. Like who's gonna back that, you know?
there was a progressive metal version of Sweeney Todd done in DC a few years
What?
ago. I'm not sure how well it did. I couldn't find reviews for it, but
I would want to see that. That's something that I would want to see.
I was so upset that I couldn't go see it. But
Did it get good reviews?
I couldn't find any reviews for it.
Man, that sucks. I really want to see a lot more of like Sleep No More kind of shit. Like totally immersive audience is in the same. Am I allowed to swear on this
Yes, of
program?
course.
I just realized I've been like cussing up a storm.
Nah, go ahead.
Totally immersive, like things like I said, Sleep No More, Fuerza Bruta, things that involve the audience, that require the audience to be in the same space as the actors, and like, because I think that that is like groundbreaking stuff. Because for centuries, theater has just been like people sitting here, people standing there saying stuff, us just like watching, maybe interacting in like a stupid fucking bird kind of way. But I love that kind of like totally immersive, visceral, like becoming part of the show kind of stuff. And I haven't really seen anywhere out of like New York doing anything like that.
I will say a local theater company, Troy Foundry Theater, which is based out of Troy, New York, which is like 10 minutes away from us. I know the artistic director from it. He works at Cap Prep occasionally as an actor. They did last month. They did a completely immersive production of La Ronde, which
Oh.
it was really dark and sexual, and apparently got amazing reviews. I wish I could have gone to go see it. It took place in this house, and you got to follow the actors and see different scenes. You could piece together, you could follow just one person, and it was supposed to be amazing. I really wish I could have gone to see it, but that's
Oh.
exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, I love that stuff. Oh. One of my friends went to Sleep No More, and she tells me about how her boyfriend was like the one person who got picked by an actor and like pulled into a closet and like crowned the king. And that doesn't happen. You know, that's so cool. It takes it to a whole nother level. I want to see like regional theaters doing shit like that. They're not going to,
Yeah,
but they
and
should.
unfortunately there are like the limitations based on space and stuff like that. It's
Yeah, yeah.
all so you cut actually it would work well, it doesn't necessarily work with regional theater because you would need to get in order to make it more interactive, you need people to be able to move around the space, and that's very limiting.
Yeah.
But there are like those companies that don't necessarily are based out of one location. They definitely do. Like I know that off-Broadway production of Sweeney Todd that just happened. That was in a pie shop. My sister
Oh.
raved about it. Not necessarily the same concept that you were going at, I guess, because there's like less audience involvement. But it was more immersive, as in like they're literally there and the actors are acting around them. Whereas I guess what you're looking for is we're getting to like kind of explore a little bit.
But see, even that is kind of a risk. Like there's like the set idea that like, oh, theater is people here, actors here, but in a theater and we have like the proscenium and that separates us and we're safe on this side and the actors stay over there. But even like deciding to put it in a pie shop is kind of a risk. And that I wonder how much thought goes into whether or not to do something like that. Like whether deciding to put it in a pie shop would be like too weird for some of their audience. I imagine that it probably does. I imagine that somebody's like mom went to that show and was like, "Oh, that was unique." You know.
I'd like to think that people who are going to go see Sweeney Todd hopefully know what they're getting into. But you never know.
Right. You never know. I'd be the kind of person who'd be like, "Oh yeah, mom, let's go to this cute little musical."
No, my parents love Stephen Sondheim. Luckily, they took me to see Sweeney Todd. Sweeney Todd is the reason I love dark theater, because I got to go see the production of with Michael Severus and Patti LuPone back in 2006.
Oh man,
it was so good and so dark, and I loved it.
Oh, I love Sondheim just in general. Oh,
but basically, I want to end saying like support new theater if you can. If you hear about a friend who's trying like a new project or like writing something new and bold, go see it. Odds are it's probably going to be a reading that's not going to cost a lot. Go take it, like, or just read the script for them. Like, say what you think. Help support the art whatever way you can, if you can't afford to.
And if you're a theater practitioner, if you're a performer, performance artist, don't be afraid to make your own work. I feel like a lot of times we, especially actors, we get stuck in a place where it's like, oh, like there's nothing going on right now that I can be cast in, or like, man, I really wish I could be in this kind of show. Like, make that shit yourself. Mm-hmm. Don't wait for somebody to make shit happen for you. Make it happen for you.
Yeah. Well, Joey, thank you so much for joining me. If you'd like to plug anything, now's your time, I would guess.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah.
If you live in the Detroit area, Much Ado Para Nada is going up at the end of August. I think the weekend of August 25th. It's a Spanish-English adaptation of Much Ado About Nothing. And it will take place in the Southwest Mexican Town neighborhood of Detroit. And it's a lot of fun. And you don't have to speak Spanish to come to understand, where the adaptation is really, really good. And it keeps the sentiment of everything really well. So come see it.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much, and I'll hopefully see everyone next week for a new episode.
Okay.
Bye. Bye. Where's the record? But why isn't it? Oh no. Oh no, it's still recording. Where's the button?
No.
There. Okay, there's a gun. Now goodbye.